chapter 11, starting at verse 1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It would be helpful to flick back to Isaiah 11, if you've got Church Bible, page 697, as we think about that together. Let me lead us in prayer. Father in heaven, please would you open the eyes of our hearts that we would see wonderful things in your word this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Who do you want to rule the world? We all know we've got our general election coming up. So imagine on the 12th of December going into polling station with your polling cards. And you're putting an X next to who's going to rule the world. Well, it'd be quite scary if it was the same people on the ballot paper, wouldn't it? I wouldn't really want Boris Johnson or Jeremy Corbyn or whoever is really standing to be world leader. But as we look around in our world, we can see things are a mess. In all different parts of the world, there is war. There is the global scale issue of climate change. There's poverty, corruption, racism that still stands today in spite of the wonderful efforts of people like Rosa Parks. It's obvious that all over the world there is a change in leadership needed. That actually lots of world leaders are part of the problem. They're corrupt. They're furthering injustice. And maybe we need a leadership change in our country too, at least if you listen to any of the opposition parties. Well, actually, the Bible and the message of Christianity is partly that we need a change of leadership in here. That personally, we need a change of leadership. That as we look at the mess that we make around us, the poor decisions, the bad choices that we make, the hurt that we cause to other people, the broken relationships that we're at least part of. How actually we're not really safe around addictive substances like alcohol or money, like power or popularity, or particularly this time of year, chocolate. Christmas can often be a time when that mess in our lives, when our own personal failings can be all the more painful. Because you've got all those adverts blaring in front of us, telling us just how cheery we're supposed to be. Well, are you feeling a little bit depressed yet? Well, if you are good, Advent is a good time to be miserable. Because Advent is about the hope of light to those in darkness. And if we can't see the darkness, then we're not going to appreciate the hope. This Advent at church, where we're looking at the astonishing promises that God makes when Jesus comes, when Jesus shows up. And it's a wonderful, wonderful message of hope we're going to have each Sunday morning leading up to Christmas. So if you look around and you see everything is all peaches and light, well then you've got permission to switch off for the next 20 minutes. I've got nothing to say to you. Or we can take off our rose-tinted spectacles and we can acknowledge that things aren't as they should be. And you can open yourself up to real, solid hope. Firstly, the hope of the just ruler we all need. In our reading from Isaiah, God promises a ruler who's coming that will have very humble origins. No education at Eton, like over a third of British prime ministers. No privilege and wealth in his upbringing. Someone born downstairs, not upstairs at Downton Abbey. Verse 1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. Jesse was a nobody at the time of King Saul. But God chose one of his sons. Now you'll have heard of him, King David. One of Jesse's sons, David, was going to be king over Israel. Hundreds of years later, the current king in David's line, Ahaz, is making a terrible mess of things. The leadership in Israel is corrupt. Ahaz refuses to trust God and instead is trying to secure his throne with alliances with foreign nations. He's leading his people away from God rather than to him. And so in Isaiah, God says he's sending Assyria, the superpower of the day, to chop down the Davidic dynasty like a tree. All that will be left is this tiny, scarred stump. It's a bleak and hopeless time for Israel. And into that situation, God speaks this wonderful message of hope. That this ruler will come from humble circumstances. Out of the stump of David's line, a shoot will grow. A fruitful branch will come. Out of the ruins, a leader is going to arise. But how is he going to be different from the Boris Johnsons and Jeremy Corbyns of the world? How is he going to escape the terrible failings of the Israelite kings? We're told in verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of might. The Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in fear of the Lord. This ruler is going to have supernatural help. The Holy Spirit is going to remain on him. The Spirit will equip him for all he needs for his task. God is the source of all good, and so someone who's totally in line with the Spirit is going to be the best equipped ruler ever. He's going to have wisdom and understanding. He's not just going to know the right thing to do, but he's going to know how to go about doing it. He's going to have the wisdom, the ability to steer through every moral dilemma with skill. He's going to have counsel and might. This ties us together with Isaiah chapter 9, another one of those well-known Christmas prophecies. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says this: For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's going to be the one who can make plans that are in line with God's will and have the power to carry them out. Counsel and might together. He's the one who's going to have knowledge and fear of the Lord. He's going to live in a perfect relationship with God. Fear of the Lord, that means utter reverence for and dependence on God. It's the Old Testament way of talking about true faith. True trust in God. While so many of the kings in Israel's history led the people away from God, this ruler is going to walk perfectly with God and bring the people to follow with him. Bringing it into today's terms, This is someone who'd know just what to do with Brexit. And I'm definitely not talking about Nigel Farage. This leader would be able to get the nations round the table to agree exactly what we need to do to sort out climate change. Because God is always truthful, this leader would only speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Wouldn't that be refreshing? When today, barefaced lies can be said by political figures, shamelessly, and they just get away with it. This leader is going to have the internal resources to do the right thing, even when it hurts. He cares most about what God thinks, and so he can do the right thing, even when it's unpopular with everyone else. God promises a leader with humble origins and a character empowered by the Spirit of God. And next, God gives us the role description for this ruler. Have a look at the second half of verse 3. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. In one word, justice. This is the leader who will right every wrong. Or in the words of our storybook Bible at home, he will make every bad and sad thing come untrue. He's not going to be swayed by outward appearances. He's not going to be prejudiced by the opinions of others. Because he's got the wisdom of God's Spirit, he'll know everyone's hearts. He won't just be able to examine the facts, but he'll know the very motives and intentions. He'll know them better than we even know ourselves. Miscarriages of justice happen so frequently, and they are so terrible, aren't they? The ones that really kind of almost bring me to tears are when you hear about those who've been wrongly executed. Say some of those historic cases in the United States where they have the death penalty, but then they're later found out to be innocent. Well, there's the flip side. When it's obvious someone's committed some horrible crime, but then they wrongly walk free. These things happen because judges and juries don't have all the facts. Because how we all see things is so skewed. And because sadly and so often, the rich and the powerful have influence that they shouldn't have. Well, God says, not before this ruler. His justice will be perfect. He's not going to bow to vested interests. He'll be able to give justice to all, even the poor, even those who are normally hardest done by the systems of the world. God's leader is going to sort out those systematic problems in human society. Those who are on the top of the pile, they're going to be judged in just the same way, by just the same standards as those on the bottom. And it's by the power of his words that he's going to deal with the guilty. Like a judge's words have power when they bang their gavel and say, "I sentence you to 5 years in prison." His words will have power so that he'll be able to perfectly deal with those who do wrong. That under his rule, justice is going to be inescapable. Sentence will be passed fairly and carried out flawlessly. And this is going to happen because the leader will have the same character as God himself. Everyone will look and be able to see his actions are righteous and faithful. The utter rightness of his conduct will be seen as obvious as the clothing that he's wearing, like a belt around his waist. This is the leader that we all need. Just imagine being able to elect this guy on Thursday. Imagine the transformation he'd bring to our society. The laws that he'd be able to put in place that would really protect the weakest but without nannying anybody. How he'd be able to reform the benefits and healthcare systems so that they work for the majority, but also in those individual cases. He'd come with a moral authority that would clean up politics at home and abroad. Someone who practices exactly what they preach in public and in private and even under pressure. Imagine for a second this leader calling the shots in your life. Him giving you the wisdom and power to live rightly with God and with people. Giving you the same spirit to transform you on the inside to live like he does on the outside. The Bible tells us that the deepest human problem is that we've rejected God's rule over us. We've gone our own way and gone against our rightful ruler. And at root, that's the major cause of all the world's problems, of the mess in our lives. And so nothing less than a total change of leadership in our lives is going to be able to put that right. No prime minister, no emperor, no president has ever met the character requirements or fit this role description. Now, obviously, you don't need me to tell you that it's Jesus. 700 years after this prophecy, cue the Christmas nativity. A child in the line of David, born in Bethlehem. God sending his angels to the poor shepherds first. And later the Magi coming, bearing gifts fit for a king. And then as he grows up, as an adult, as all four gospel accounts record, as Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended and remained on him, marking him out as this very ruler of Isaiah 11. And then in his earthly ministry, as he healed and taught the poor as well as the rich, as he gave that advert for life in his kingdom. But now, we still wait for him. We still look for his perfect rule. We wait for his kingdom to come again and his justice to fill the earth. Because that's certainly what we don't see right now. Well, our passage goes on. God tells us the astonishing effects of his rule. So secondly, the just world we all want. Let me remind you of verses 6 to 9. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den. And the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. When Jesus' kingdom comes, through his just rule, there will be absolute peace. Peace that's so profound. Isaiah pictures it rippling out into the animal kingdom. As we look out on nature, we see it's fierce and brutal and often merciless. From tiny ants waging war, colony against colony, to massive killer whales preying on dolphins, sharks, or whatever else they like. Isaiah pictures the peace of Jesus' rule as animals that are naturally enemies living gladly together. Predator and prey no longer locked in battle, but feeding together. The lamb safe to be with the wolf, the goat with the leopard, the cow with the bear. It's like nature has been turned into one giant safe farmyard. Well, actually safer than a farmyard if you've ever been chased across a field by some moody cows. Peace and security like we can barely imagine. So safe you could bring a whole stack of venomous snakes to our toddler group. Babies could cuddle up with huge pythons whilst you go off and eat our delicious homemade cake. Just imagine nature presenting zero threats to human beings, even to little babies. Zoos would be amazing. Come on down to the lion enclosure. It's feeding time. We've got plenty of straw. Just hop into the enclosure. Find out for yourself just how soft a lion's mane is. And don't forget your phone for selfies. It's in sharp contrast to our world now. You might remember that tragic story in 2016 of Harambe the gorilla, who was shot dead at the US Zoo. A 3-year-old boy had climbed over into the enclosure. The two female gorillas had obeyed instructions and gone back into their enclosure. But the little boy was splashing in the water as Harambe, this 200-kilogram adult gorilla, went down and picked him up out of the moat. You can't imagine how the parents felt. Well, after about 10 minutes, the zookeepers, finally uncertain of the gorilla's intentions, had to shoot him dead to preserve the boy's life. Well, in this little cameo of Jesus in kingdom, that kind of thing would be no more. Although actually, for all the animals we get here, this little picture isn't really to kind of get us dreaming about the animal kingdom. It's actually just to illustrate and to highlight what's not there. Jesus' just and perfect rule will so transform this world that there will be perfect peace. There'll be no more harm, no more suffering, no more death. Now, it sounds slightly odd to us, to our ears, to connect perfect justice with these things. Sure, we might think, well, perfect justice means an end to war, you know, no more muggings, no more murders. But in the Bible, there's something unnatural, something not right about accidents, about suffering, about death. These shouldn't be in God's world. Now, I've got absolutely zero fear of my kids being harmed by anything in the animal kingdom. We live in a very safe country. I'm not even scared when they go to the zoo. I have lots and lots of fear of scooters. Children's scooters. Or at least I used to. We first got scooters back when we lived in London. And we're told they'll transform how you go out with the kids. Journey times to nursery and the shops will be cut in two. What they didn't tell you is that your blood pressure will be doubled. Our kids really quickly got the hang of going fast. Took a lot longer before they learned how to stop effectively. So for the first few months, I'm terrified. They're zooming off down the street. They're just going to go straight out into traffic. My worst scooter experience was taking George to Asda. They've got a pedestrian approach to the front door that's got no curb. It's just got a white line in the road. And so George stumbles just as his scooter's veering over the white line and right in front of a car. Praise God that the driver had the reactions of a ninja and we didn't need a hospital trip. Well, when Jesus brings perfect justice to the world, there won't even be any more chance of harm. No more harm, no more suffering, no more death. It means an end to fear. Whatever it is that you get anxious about for your loved ones, it will be made untrue under Jesus' rule. How is this going to happen? Well, actually, more importantly, how do we get to be a part of it? Well, verse 9 tells us it'll be because the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. The one who's got the Spirit of the Lord will fill the world with knowledge of him. It means people being brought back into relationship with their Maker as they were meant to be. It's that personal change of leadership that I've already mentioned. When someone gives their life over to Jesus' rule, he brings them into relationship with God, and he brings them into his kingdom. Jesus promises a place in his perfect world, remade by his perfect justice, a world where there will be perfect peace. If you want the hope that Jesus is offering you this morning, then you need to resign your position as Lord of your life and hand it over to him. You could do that today. You could ask Jesus to be in charge of your life, and you can receive the solid hope of his kingdom to come. If that's something that you're not ready to do, well, keep on coming. We love having people here who've got questions, who want to hear more. And you could decide to join us on our Christianity Explored course in January. For those of us who already know Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, I hope this morning has stirred up your longing for his kingdom to come. But there is one place where we already get to see verses 6 to 9 being realised, at least in part. And that's right here. I don't particularly mean our building, but I mean here in us, in our lives as a church family. Jesus has given us peace with God and peace with one another. People who would never normally cross one another in other walks of life are brought together by Jesus. And when we're united, when we love each other, in spite of different views on Brexit, in spite of different jobs and different interests and different family backgrounds, when we're united together, we're expressing the peace that we enjoy under Jesus' rule. When we put each other's needs first, when we forgive each other, when we let go of grievances, when we're quick to listen and quick to say sorry, then we're enjoying and displaying the peace of Jesus' rule over our lives. Why not have a chat with a friend over coffee at the end of the service about what it would look like exactly to be living out this peace we have already as part of Jesus' kingdom this week? Well, I'm very thankful that we don't have to elect a world leader. I wouldn't want any politician to be elected to have that much power to make a mess of things even more. Well, let's be very thankful that Jesus one day will bring in his perfect rule and bring in a perfect world made full of peace with God and with one another. Let me lead us in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the wonderful promises in your words. We thank you so much for the promise of the Lord Jesus to come, the spirit-filled and perfectly just ruler of everything. Thank you so much for the perfect world that he promises to bring in, where peace will reign. In his name we pray. Amen.